Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm visiting some family in Florida, so I'm on an air mattress.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. This is the interview series. It's presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. If you do, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artist and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with Lizzie Hale of the band Hailstorm. We're going to be discussing the band's latest album, Back from the Dead, and how it unintentionally became a heavier record due to the anxiety and struggles with mental health that she was up against during the pandemic. Lizzie's going to tell us about the fun the band has with other musicians, other musician friends at festivals, some of her work anxiety nightmares, and the recent Adele and Dolly Parton covers that they've done, as well as an unreleased shelf cover of When a Man Loves a Woman. We're also going to discuss how she uses religious connotations in her writing, and recently getting to watch Jimmy Fallon gift Demi Lovato, one of Lizzie's signature guitar models, live on Tonight Show. That's all in here and more. We're talking Back from the Dead. It's Kyle Meredith with Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm.
How you doing, man? Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on here. You've got a lot going on. There's a new record that came out earlier this year, Back from the Dead. A powerful, powerful album once again. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's just great to have it out, you know. We're after so long and recording it, and they're like, is anyone ever going to hear it? And it's just wonderful to have it no longer be mine, and now it's everybody else's.
Yeah. Well, and you've been taking it out on tour. I will quickly mention, actually, I'm sitting here in Louisville, and you're going to be here. What is the date? September 22nd. Part of Louder Than Life. Yeah. And that's a big festival. It's a good bill. The day that you're here, it's what Evanescence is also on the bill. Yeah. And Youngblood and Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. It's like we accumulated our own personal concert, but we get to play on it.
You sort of have these great bands with you on tour all the time, but in moments like this, like, do you try to use those moments to hook up with friends on stage to make the magical moments happen, or is any of that sort of in the back of your mind?
Absolutely. In fact, even if it's not discussed previously, it's a little bit of a beautiful panic, because it's like you want to go and support your friends either side stage, but you know that there could be a moment that they look and they're like, oh, Lizzie's here, get on up here. And then it becomes like workmare. Like, do I know all the lyrics? Like, what's going on? I love those moments, and I love those opportunities. Any time that we're able to support each other in what we do, that's where life happens, you know? And so those are moments that will never happen again. And you get to you know, let people experience those. Also, it's just a big family reunion. It's like summer camp every time we go to these festivals, because, you know, we're all busy. Everyone's out all the time now. And most of us haven't seen each other since BC, before COVID. So, you know, since, you know, 100 years BC. And so it's just like, it's crazy to see people in person and their faces again. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I love that you brought up the work mayor, because I have them for this job too. I haven't played in a band since I was, you know, like 20 years ago, younger. And I still have that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Get up on stage. I don't know this song. I don't know how to play guitar anymore. Sure, let's do this.
Let's do it. I had a few before our first big tour back, you know, and it was always that same thing. I get up, I look at the set list. I don't know any of these songs. Or I get up and I open my mouth and nothing comes out. Or I'm playing some instrument that I don't know how to play and I don't know why we decided to do that. You know? It's just one of those things. It's just, that's just going to be the way it is, I think, for the rest of my life.
Always be there. Well, you know, adding it to the pressure, I don't know if this adds to the pressure at all, but I'm using it as a seg is what I'm doing. But the covers that you all throw out there, and I know you did some, you know, sort of in the studio versions of it, but it's been so much fun to see, you know, what was it, Adele's Hello recently and Dolly's Jolene. Of course, not the first time you've tackled Dolly. But the covers, you know, being a part of this, I love the way that you all always take them on. But I think maybe some other fan ask it too, like, is this leading to something? Is this something you all want to do? Is there a project coming? Because suddenly we're seeing them.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because we have it in the back of our mind. It's something that we love to do. But really we were just we were goofing around and we literally were pulling some songs out of a hat that we've never tried. And those videos on TikTok were literally, we put it together in like 2 minutes and just did it because, you know, hey, we got other things to do, but we should put up some content. But the funniest thing about that is I told the guys, I said, you know, let's plan on doing a cover EP, but let's use some of those like quick thinking, flying by the seat of your pants moments. Cause when we set out to do the Jolene, you know, cover on TikTok, I think it was my little brother who's like, well, you can't go wrong with Sabbath. So it's like, duh, 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 duh. I'm like, yeah, let's just do that. It's fine. But that's the beauty of it. You know, you can just kind of roll with it and go, and then that can kind of just become the map. So I'm not going to say no. I believe most likely we will end up getting the studio here at some point because we've been talking about it more often because everybody else kind of picked up on it. So we're like, maybe we should get in the studio and do it. So yeah.
The covers EP, the cover, whatever it is. I would love to hear it. You know, I also want to hear the covers that don't work. Like those are obviously a part of it too. Like, oh, we've always wanted to try this and you do it. And like, that's not going to happen. No, no one's going to hear that.
We did that on the last cover EP. There's not the reimagined, but the one that we did a bunch of the covers on, the one before that, the reanimate one. And that was where Ride the Lightning came in, because Ride the Lightning wasn't on the list, but we had, was it Percy Sledge? When a man loves a woman. And we were recording it. And there is a version of us doing it that has never been heard. And we like, we're listening to it. We're like, guys, like, it's just our moms that are going to like this. It's just our mom. That nobody's going to care. And so we're like, well, what else can we do? We don't have anything like heavy. And we had one day left in the studio because we had only booked it for 5 days and we were doing like kind of a song a day. And so we already kind of like thrown away a day working on Percy Sledge. And somebody was like, well, we were talking about Ride the Lightning. We're like, yeah, let's do that. And then it's like, oh my gosh, this is such a task for a day. You know, but that was fun. Another flying by the seat of your pants moment. I feel like as I'm talking to you, I'm having this epiphany that somehow that's how I've mapped my entire career and my life is you dive in head first into the Shark Tank, you say yes, and then figure it out later.
Right. It's worked out well.
Don't think just two.
I think that's worked out really, really well. And I, you know, I'll go back to you know, the bigger topic at hand here, because you did put out this amazing record, which I know has its own story, its own backstory. As you've talked about, you know, everything that you dealt with and a lot of us dealt with, you know, over the past few years, especially when the lockdown happened and the mental health moments of this album. Where was your mind? Where were you mentally as you went into writing these songs?
Well, we went through, I guess, a similar roller coaster ride, whereas when everything shut down for the first time, you know, we had begun writing for the next record. And so we were all kind of just in my home studio doing things. And then there was, you know, just every day was kind of more bad news. Things were shutting down. Everyone was encouraging everyone to stay home. And so I basically turned to the guys and like, hey, this is going to blow over in like a month. We haven't had a vacation in like 17 years. So everybody just go enjoy spending time with your significant other, you know, we'll reconvene when this all blows over. And then, you know, slowly but surely, month after month, it was like, okay, well, we did have like a couple shows come up and we can't do those. And then we had a tour coming up and we can't do that. And then we were supposed to get into the studio, but now I have no idea when that's coming. So it was just this like this like 1 month or so where it's like, we get beer delivered to our door. This is amazing. We're all in this together. To, oh my God, the world is ending. And then as that kept going on and just, you couldn't help feeling kind of the weight of it. And also what was missing. I don't think that I realized until all of this went down how much I use all of those weapons, you know, in my arsenal, you know, whereas, albeit just the camaraderie with your bandmates or the traveling or the show, which is, has become, you know, an addiction for lack of a better term, you know, the live rock show, that's where you get those feelings. And even just the forward movement, there has never been a time in my life as, since I was 13, when we started Hailstorm, that there wasn't something next, you know, anything next, even if it was a bowling alley gig twice a month. In fact, this has been the first time I'd gone that long without a show, because speaking of bowling alleys, when I was 13, 14 years old, we did have a bowling alley gig at least twice a month. So it was just one of those things. You don't realize how much you use all of that to combat, you know, these issues and that you do have inside. Like I, you know, I have anxiety. I suffer from bouts of depression and imposter syndrome, and there's an alphabet soup of things that go along with me. And I use a lot of these things as my armor to keep that at bay. And I don't think I realized how much I use it. So, you know, I went through a lot of lows into, okay, I have to like maintain hope. And then at one point in time, I was talking to the guys and I'm like, well, what can we do? You know, and, you know, we can immerse ourselves in a couple of different projects. And I started doing a little bit of that, and that helped. But really the only way, the only outlet for it was to literally write through it. So sat my butt down and I went over a bunch of the older demos that we had begun writing in the beginning before the pandemic. And it just seemed, they seemed a little safe and unimportant at that point. So just decided to kind of keep writing in the now. Okay, what am I feeling right now? Even if it sucks and even if it's gibberish, I'm just going to put it down every single day. And that was kind of how I worked out of that. no pun intended, but that, you know, that 6 feet hole that I was kind of digging for myself. And so the silver lining and the beautiful thing about that is that I rediscovered why I still love writing and why I still do it. And it's not because it's my career now. It's not because we have fans, and it's not because, you know, we have a record label breathing down our neck. it's because I need to do it as a form of therapy and as an extension of myself, and how I can figure out put the crazy puzzle pieces in my head together. Because once you do that, once you know, in any of those outlets, once you accomplish that, you know, you're writing these songs, and when you know that they're done and you know that they're good, and you can kind of set that issue aside for a while, because it's this productivity and you're like, well, I think I figured something out about myself through writing that. And then when we were recording the song, so then finally we get a little bit of a window, everything got lifted for a while. So then we're all in the studio and we're masked up, and we're going over these songs and we're doing it. And then everything would shut down again. We'd have to go away. So it's just like this big back and forth. But we didn't have any, hadn't had any shows in so long. So what we realized, we didn't realize this until after we were listening to the masters of these songs, that we wrote a pretty heavy record. And we weren't really intending on doing that. Not consciously anyway, but subconsciously, I guess you have to put it somewhere because we couldn't lay all the angst out on a stage somewhere. So, so yeah, again, silver linings. This would have been a very different record if the world hadn't ended.
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And this is Kyle Meredith with Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm.
Well, you know, to talk about the things you're talking about, obviously cathartic for you, it sounds like, but important for people who are also needing to hear those. I even saw, like, you know, maybe it's kismet, whatever, but your birthday is on World Mental Health Day.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that, I think, until this year. And I'm like, seriously. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a huge advocate for it, because and my little brother and I talk about that a lot, because even when we were growing up in the 90s, there was this huge stigma that if you were going to see a therapist or were trying to figure some things out in your head, that meant you were nuts. And so then all of a sudden, that's who you are. It becomes like your identity. And that's just not the case. And in the wise words of my drummer / little brother, he's like, sis, we go to a dentist for our teeth. We go to a physical doctor for our bodies. This is just a doctor for our heads. It's the same thing. You need checkups every now and then. I'm like, yes, you're right, little bro. It's in the best form. That's exactly what that is. But really trying to break the stigma, but also through with this album, the crazy thing is that because I was, and we all were, but we're writing from this personal spot and this almost selfish place. Now, after the album is released, I'm seeing so many people that are owning these messages and owning these songs as if it were their own, and getting the lines tattooed on their arms because it saved them from something. So then I realized that I was not alone in any of the things that I was feeling, because all of these people in front of me on this stage right now have gone through the exact same things that I'm going through or are still going through it. So that's just the power of music and the fact that that can be, you know, passed on, it's a wonderful thing.
It's almost surprising. And I'd be curious where this comes from too, because for the darkest moments of this album, you also have these bright moments. I mean, I was looking at a song called Terrible Things on here. Mm-hmm. And like, when you're dealing with the darkness of yourself, how do you see the light in other people?
It's true. It's true. Because you especially, and you know, I find myself saying this a lot, whereas you can't really love somebody. You can't, or should I say, and I'll make another analogy. You can't spill your cup for someone if you don't fill it for yourself. So, you know, self-love is very important. But also we're not just dealing with that in these days. It's not just about what you're going through. We're watching all of these things happen in real time, these catastrophic events and these huge leaps backward in human evolution and thinking and science. And there's, but then even on a petty level, it's like there's hate for hate's sake. Has nothing to do, there's no logic to it. Why? And why are we still fighting about these petty things that don't matter at all? We should be beyond that. But if you decide to give up on that, then what are we doing it for? So for me, and in almost a selfish way, I have to always kind of have that light at the end of the tunnel in a lot of these songs, because specifically in that one, like, yes, life sucks. We are awful things. we're destroying everything in our path. We can't get along, but I don't believe that we're inherently evil. And I don't believe, and I can't just lie down and say, well, this is it. You know, I have to believe that we can be better and that we can move forward and we can ebb and flow and come out of that. And a lot of these songs on this album, I do this a lot, I think, not just because of the pandemic, but even in previous albums, you kind of have to write yourself a little pep talk. You know, it's like I journal every day as well, as you know, just putting together lyrics and music. And I think that you have to kind of put all these things down on paper, and you have to like look at it from this perspective, and you have to be brutally honest, and, you know, and you have to be hard on yourself, and you have to look at dog, sorry. and you have to look at the world for what it is, but you have to somehow find that solution and give that little either pep talk to you or pep talk to the world. Be like, we still got this, you know, because as soon as we lose that, I mean, we're done, you know? And so that's just, anyway, that's my philosophy in my small corner of the world. And this is how I survived.
Well, it does come out in those powerful moments. And A Strange Girl, you know, compliment, like those are powerful moments that come out throughout the record. And then there's this other side. I mean, the religious iconography, always a helpful writing tool that I found too. But when you look at, you know, you take the steeple, take many of the songs on here, and you get the appearance of God and the devil and Bibles. Like, what role does that play for you, maybe just specifically on this album?
Something I enjoy, and I've done on other albums too, but something I enjoy is using that, you know, religious connotation to write the devil's music. I like the dichotomy of it, but in a lot of ways, it's, you know, it's not untrue, and it's not just a turn of phrase or a trick. You know, I believe that especially, you know, the church of rock and roll, the stage, the sanctuary that we have within the show and within our rock community and the people that come see the shows. Also, what you experience, not just from my perspective performing, but when what you experience when you go to a show and when you're with a bunch of weirdos that are just like you, and you're all singing your hymns, you're singing your anthems, the things that have changed your life, you know, and we're under this, I don't know. It's almost like everything that is going on outside in your life doesn't matter for for 90 minutes, you know, at least. None of that matters. And to me, that is a religious experience. But it's funny. So to go back into my past a little bit, my parents, probably from the time that I was about, I want to say six or seven until I was about 12, you know, were very much in the Christian community. Some of my first concerts were contemporary Christian rock of the 90s.
you've had your fair share of audio adrenaline concerts.
Yes, DC Talk, Newsboys, right. the whole thing. So in a lot of ways that was my first introduction to like live music, but I feel like it's come full circle now in my adulthood to kind of bring some of that experience back, because there are similarities, you know, and not to get on a, I'm not necessarily talking about religion, but the fact that people need these things and they need that North Star. And so the fact that you can find all of those things within the immense power of music and our, you know, our forefathers and mothers of rock, the rock gods that are still around, but is beautiful. And I end up just enjoying writing about that and putting that into the songs. Now it is funny too, because I do have a couple family members that understand the humor in that, and then I have a couple family members that are just oblivious and they're like, oh, I'm so glad you're talking about God again. So
whatever helps,
whatever helps it along, you know?
Right.
But right. Yeah, but it's all good. I feel like with everything that we do, you have to put that positivity out there, and you have to, because there's, like we said before, there's, you know, there's enough of the negative in the world. So
I love how you do it. I really do. Again, I can compliment it. And I'll quickly, we're probably up against the clock here. I'll quickly just say that also I'm looking forward to the graphic novel this Halloween that's coming out.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And congratulate, you know, I saw the Gibson guitar. I've been watching that. And did it just pop? Was that what Jimmy Fallon handed Demi Lovato the other day?
It was. Did I read that? It was. I had found out the morning of we had gone over to the Gibson Garage in Nashville, Tennessee. We were signing some things for Ukraine relief, and one of the guys from marketing comes down. He's like, "Oh, Lizzie, you're here." He's like, "Guess what? Jimmy Fallon is going to give away your Explorer bird to Demi Lovato tonight on his show." I'm like, "What?" And I swear. So like we're watching, and all of us did an audible squeal when he opened up the case. it's still so exciting. It's like. It still happens when we hear a song on the radio. It's like, oh, we're on, you know, turn it up. It's the same feeling. So, yeah, I know that their circles are getting tighter, especially with all the cross genres and all the pop kids are getting into rock now. And you know, people are discovering Metallica for the first time after 35 years, you know, of Master of Puppets on Stranger Things. It's a beautiful time to be a rock band. I'm enjoying seeing everybody discover that. So yeah.
If only there could be that split EP of Metallica covering Kate Bush and vice versa. That's that'd be a
okay.
good one.
Can we please make that happen? Somebody, anybody
Manifest.
Listening. Yes. Yes. I will personally find you and make you do it. That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Lizzie, congrats again. I do love Back from the Dead. I'm so looking forward to seeing you guys here in Louisville too at Louder Than Life. It's been years now. So this is, I'm hoping for a good weekend. I'm hoping to see some fun up on that stage too. You know, whether it's, the work dreams or not.
Regardless. Well, you know, we don't perform with a click or tracks or any trickery. So so there's always a moment within every rock show, whether people notice or not, where it's like, okay, this could be a train wreck, or we could make it into something. Oh, now let's go left. We're going left. Left now. You know,
the audible is cold, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Of course, of course. And I hope to see you Louder Than Life in the flesh.
I'll be there.
Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time, darling.
Big old thanks to Lizzie Hale. The brand new Hellstorm record is called Back from the Dead. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're here. You get 3 new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. to keep you up to date on your favorite artist and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. It's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, mostly Twitter. All three of them, at Kyle Meredith is the address. I do hope you like and follow. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
You're awesome. Those were such wonderful questions. I commend you, kind sir.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.